Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we've been covering the topic, Peter was never in Rome. And we also saw that Peter was not that rock on which Jesus would build his church. Jesus built his church on himself. He is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone, not the Pope. God never granted any authority to any man at any time to assume the powers claimed by the Pope of Rome. Now, we just saw in Acts, the third chapter, how they healed the man at the gate, beautiful. And now after that, because of their preaching, it says over here in chapter 4, in verse 4, that 5,000 people believe. And this upset the priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders. Now, remember, they were the ones who agreed to have Jesus put to death. And remember now, all of this is coming back upon them in a way that they never expected. Jesus rose from the dead, and they never found the body. Don't you believe that if they would have ever found the body, that it would have been displayed, showing this was the body of Jesus, and that his resurrection from the dead was a hoax palmed off by the apostles? No, siree. All right, now let's see what happened after the apostles were arrested and put in prison overnight. So let's come here to chapter 4. So here is like the calling together in the United States of a joint session of Congress with the president to give a speech. Verse 5, now it came to pass in the morning that the rulers and elders and scribes were assembled together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, those were the ones who condemned Jesus, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the high priest lineage. So they were all there with all of their official garb. And after placing them, that is, all 12 apostles, in the midst, they inquired. Now, you have to picture this, see. Here they all are, the great Jewish Inquisition of the apostles. By what power and in what name did you do this miracle of healing the man? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we are examined this day as to the good work done to the infirm man, by what power he has been cured, be it known to you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Now notice verse 11. Peter never assumed to himself that he was the rock on whom Jesus would build his church. Notice verse 11, what Peter said. This is the stone, that is Jesus Christ, that was set at naught by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Not Peter. What a perfect chance for him to say, now look, all you leaders of Jerusalem and all you priests there, Jesus has set up a new system, and I am the head of it, and I am the Pope. And all of these followers bow down and kiss my ring and kiss my feet. And unless you rulers of the Sanhedrin and the Jewish people do likewise, you're all going to be in trouble. Perfect time to do so, but he didn't do it, did he? See? Now, sometimes we need to point out the obvious by looking at the reverse side of things. Notice what he said, verse 12. Because remember, Jesus said to those Jews and Pharisees, he said, I know you, that you do not have the love of God within you. And that if you would listen to Moses or believe Moses, through whom you think you have eternal life, those are the scriptures that Jesus said spoke of me. So here are the same ones here, okay? Verse 12. And there is no salvation in any other. For neither is there another name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved. Whoo! No hint at all that Peter took authority to himself. He gave all credit to Jesus Christ, God the Father, correct? Yes, indeed. Now, those at this august meeting, all the learned, all the educated, all the elite of the age of Peter's time, they looked at them, and they saw that these were unlearned men, fishermen, common folk, talking to us like that. I mean, sometimes you get that feeling from the government, don't you, and from church members and things. Yes, indeed. Now they were stuck with a problem because standing right there was the man that they healed. And so, you know, they got together and said, now, what are we going to do with these men? We can't deny the miracle because, look, the man is standing right here. What are we going to do? Well, since we're the authorities, we will command them never to speak in this name again. Well, you know what happened. After they left, they went out and preached more and did more miracles and things, other things like that, didn't they? Now, this is happening in the period as you follow along in the chronology, you see, from 30 and 31 A.D., and then it beginning in 32 A.D., we'll cover some other things. We'll skip over some of the things in the chronology, but I want you to download this chronology from the home page, and I want you to go through it and follow it with the sermons that we're giving. Now, let's see what else happened. Chapter 5. After Cheats came in and tried to lie about how much they sold the estate for, and Ananias and Sapphira both died, and they wound them up and buried them, and great fear fell upon the church at that point. Verse 11 of Acts, the fifth chapter, so let's read it. Then great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Now notice what was happening in Jerusalem. Great things were taking place. God's Spirit was working really big time. And many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles, for they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, right at the temple, right at the place where the great Sanhedrin would meet too, yes. And none of the others dared to join them, but the people magnified them, and believers were added all the more to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Great things are now. The priests and Sadducees were watching all of this happening. And they were seeing the people that used to come to them going to the apostles. Whoa, what a terrible thing that was. They couldn't handle it, as we will see. Believers were added all the more to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, insomuch that people were bringing out the sick into the streets and putting them on beds and stretchers so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Did Peter stop and say, well, now, aren't you lucky? I'm the first pope, and my shadow passed by, and you were healed. Look how great I am. Kiss my ring? No, kiss my feet. And no, if you go against anything that I say, you're going to burn in hell forever. Well, Peter didn't do that. Let's continue on and see what happened here. And a multitude from the cities round about also came together in Jerusalem, bringing sick ones and those beset by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those with him being of the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with anger. Why, they should have been happy. They should have run out there and brought in Peter, put a crown on him, and say, "Yes, you are the man, Peter." No, they didn't. So they went out and arrested them and put them in prison so they could cross-examine them in the morning. Okay, so what happened? Well, God sent an angel. Unlocked the doors. They all got out. The guards were standing there, and when they came to get them, the doors were locked. The guards were there. They never knew what happened, and all 12 of the apostles were released, and the angel told them, "You go stand in the temple and teach." Whew. And notice what the high priest said to them. Remember, he's the one who persuaded Pilate to crucify Jesus Christ. So they got all the apostles there. And the high priest said to them, "Did we not order you by a direct command not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching with the purpose of bringing this man's blood upon us." No, they said, "Let his blood be upon us and on our children." They brought it on themselves. But notice verse 29. But Peter and the apostles. So there was no highly exalted papal office for Peter. Answered and said, "We are obligated to obey our new pope." No. No, 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 no. We are obligated to obey God rather than men. Telling this august, authoritative assembly of the leaders of the Jewish nation in Judea that they were not going to obey them. So they wanted to kill them. Then Gamaliel said, "Now put the apostles out. I want to give you a little advice." I'm going to paraphrase it here. Now, we've had insurrections in the past, and we've had movements in the past, but they all came to nothing. So I want to tell you this, that if this be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you better be careful, lest you are found, all of you leaders here, fighting God. So they followed his advice, and then they decided, "We will beat them and let them go." So let's see what they did. They were persuaded by him, and they called the apostles, and after beating them, commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they released them. And they came back happy that they were able to suffer on account of Jesus. Now notice verse 42. They couldn't stop them. And every day in the temple and in houses, they did not cease teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This brings us pretty much to the conclusion of 2 full years. Then we come to chapter 6 and 7, which is the martyrdom of Stephen. And Stephen, after giving a tremendous abbreviated history of how God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he first called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth, and then all the sins that Israel continually committed. Now, here is another witness by Stephen Why not Peter, the Pope? No such thing. So here's Stephen, someone just recently ordained as a deacon. Notice what he tells them. And notice this powerful witness. The leaders in Judea and the priesthood and the elders and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And this was the last witness that they had and given a chance to repent. From this time forward, it was destined that they would be slaughtered and killed and the temple destroyed and raised to the ground, just like Jesus said, without a stone being left upon a stone. So Stephen gives this witness to them, because you see, everything the Jews looked to was the temple. And today it's the same thing. They say, when the temple is built, the Messiah is going to return. Well, in that they may be partially correct. But you see, even what Stephen, in quoting from the Old Testament, told them that God does not dwell in buildings made by the hands of men, but in those who are converted. Question, if that's the case, why do the Catholics have St. Peter's Basilica with all the idols and everything that's in there? If Peter was the first pope, and if he brought the true gospel of Christ. Well, Peter did, but the pope never has. So let's read what Stephen says here. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made by hands, as the prophet says. Verse 49, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is a footstool for my feet. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? And what is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these things? Don't you understand? The great God who made the heavens and the earth doesn't need a building made by men as a place for him to dwell in. Now notice what he says to them. Notice how the Holy Spirit inspired Stephen. And this is a greater and more powerful message than Peter, who was supposedly to be the first pope, ever gave to them when he spoke to them. So now, do we make Stephen the first pope? Well, no, because he died. Well, let's look at his witness here. Verse 51. Oh, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so also do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have become betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the dispensation of angels, but have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed their teeth at him. No repentance. No repentance. They were vengeful. They were hateful. They were murderous. But he, that is Stephen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that's the one that they killed, whom God resurrected. Now, it doesn't say, and they all fell on their face, repenting, tearing their garments. No. No love of God, no truth of God, no understanding of God. No, they were just driven on by their hatred and vehement attitude toward Jesus Christ. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. So much for the love of God. And they stoned Stephen, who called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, notice his attitude. Right just before the instant that he died. And he fell to his knees and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. And after he said this, he died. Quite a witness to them, right? This brings us into 2 full years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And notice, the greatest witness to them came from a deacon, not from Peter. Peter was never the first pope, and he never went to Rome. Now, we will see that with all the other things that we are going to cover with this. Then we have chapter 8 that we already covered, how that the apostles sent down Peter and John to where Simon Magus was. And remember, Simon Magus was the one who used sorceries. That's witchcraft. That is today the equivalent of the New Age religion. I'm okay, you're okay. You don't need anything but yourself. And Simon Magus pretended to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he was not. And there were a lot of false apostles, so much so that the church at Ephesus, come here to Revelation, the 2nd chapter, where God says to this church, Christ did, Revelation, the 2nd chapter, here's what we are to do. Don't believe anyone who says he's an apostle. Don't believe anyone who says he sits in the seat of Peter. Don't believe him when he says he's the vicar of Christ. Christ does not need evil, idolatrous men to be his ministers. They are the ministers of Satan, the devil. Now, when the church was developing, yes, everyone wanted to use the name of Jesus Christ, just like they have today. So notice what Jesus says to the church at Ephesus here. I know your works and your labor and your endurance, and you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you did test those who proclaim themselves to be apostles but are not, and did find them liars. Now that's what we are to do. We are to prove everything. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And this is what we are doing. We are going to do a survey of the book of Acts, and we will see, where did Peter go? When did he go? What did he do? Did he ever at any time go to Rome? Did Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, ever acknowledge that Peter had been in Rome? See, that's what we need to do. We need to do like the Bereans did. Search the scriptures to see if these things are true or not. Now, let me just tell you one final thing. You will never receive eternal life if you are living in sin and believing in lies and accepting a false Jesus and a false system that calls itself the Church of Jesus Christ, the Roman Catholic Church, and no other church that has idolatry or Sunday keeping is a true representative of the true Jesus Christ and God the Father. Only those who keep the commandments of God have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the faith of Jesus Christ. And those are the few. and you need to find out where they are. And that begins with church at home. Be sure and visit our other website, where we have hundreds of sermons. Download the chronology, and we'll post up pretty quickly another article, which will be Peter was never buried in Rome, but on the Mount of Olives. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your homes, and so long, everyone.